Hello, this is Daniel, and I'm one of the pastors at Meridian Church of God, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the Meridian Church of God podcast. We hope that this is a benefit to you. Enjoy. Today I carry with me wounds and scars. Although I try to be fairly vulnerable and transparent when I speak with an audience, I also try to practice a rule of thumb that I once heard from an experienced communicator who cautioned against communicators bleeding over their audience by oversharing stories of wounds that are not healed yet. I don't want to bleed on anyone today, but I do not come to you today as a wise sage ready to dispense wisdom to you. I come as a fellow human being who has some wounds and is looking for healing. Today, I want to tell you about a painful wound that I suffered several years ago that is now fully healed. But first, I want to ask, how are you wounded? Wounds can be exposed in different ways. They are sensitive when someone touches a spot near them. So here are some questions that might help you better understand your own wounds. What is a relationship that has an unresolved and lingering tension? What is a memory that you feel you cannot talk about with anyone? What is a name or word that whenever you hear it or see it, or maybe picture it, you feel anxiety or shame? What is some criticism that stings you? What is a label that you do not want to have? The answers to some of these questions can give you clues as to how you are wounded. Last week was Easter, and in the message I referenced a chapter in the Hebrew Bible that was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. If you have ever read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, you would understand how after the resurrection, followers of Christ interpreted the words of Isaiah 53, written hundreds of years earlier, to be a prophecy about Jesus. We're going to look at a few of those verses today. We'll start with Isaiah 53:2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. Isaiah described him as tender. When we use the word tender, unless we are talking about food, we usually use the word in a negative way. Now, tenderhearted might mean caring, but for the most part, most of us want to avoid what is tender. A tender spot is a place where we feel pain. A tender subject is one that is uncomfortable. When we describe people as tender, we are usually saying they are overly sensitive or weak. He also used the language, a root in dry ground. Dry ground is not a place where a root wants to be. Another Hebrew prophet named Jeremiah, who was a contemporary of Isaiah, said of a cursed person in Jeremiah 17:6, that person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert. On the contrary, Jeremiah described a blessed person in Jeremiah 17:8. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Now, Isaiah's description of being like a root out of dry ground is a description of being cursed or parched in a place you don't want to be, that's difficult. Next, he wrote in Isaiah 53:2, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. For most of us, these descriptions are the opposite of what we hope for. Isaiah described him as being unattractive. Now, most of us can be at least a little sensitive to how we look. A comment about how we are ugly or overweight or frail or blemished or bald or hairy or small can stay with us. Many of us have been body shamed and have a difficult time talking about aspects of our appearance that we don't like. It can be a tender subject. Next, Isaiah wrote in 53:3, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Again, for the most part, these descriptions are the opposite of what we hope for. Ever been despised? It hurts. Ever been rejected? It's brutal. Some of us carry memories of times from a long time ago when we experienced something like this, and some of those wounds may not be fully healed. I remember a time near the end of my freshman year in college that I applied to be a resident assistant in my dorm, and I wanted the job. My dorm needed to hire 8 RAs, and I didn't think many more than 8 applied for the job. But on that day that it was announced who was hired, I was not one of the 8. I felt like I was the only one who they didn't want. And in the pain of feeling rejected, memories of past rejections and times when people told me that I wasn't good enough came flooding to mind, exposing some of my wounds that hadn't healed. Let's get back to Isaiah. Verse 4, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. Again, for the most part, these descriptions are the opposite of what we hope for. This one is hard for me. I'm a pastor, so I want you to consider me to be blessed by God. Now, sometimes I will hear talk about powerful men and women of God who are charismatic and have these powerful ministries where they're doing amazing things that are blessed by God. And I will wonder, well, why is God not blessing me like those who are considered blessed? What's wrong with me? Now, I have a feeling that even if you aren't a pastor, you might be able to relate to not wanting to feel like a disappointment to God. Next, Isaiah wrote in verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Again, these descriptions are the opposite of what we hope for. Pierced is not similar to getting your ears or eyebrow or lip or tongue or whatever pierced. To convey it better, we may want to say he was impaled for our transgressions. No one wants to be impaled. No one wants to be crushed or punished. Again, this is the opposite of things that we want for ourselves and for those we love. We don't want to be wounded. A guy by the name of Viktor Frankl was a prisoner in 4 different Nazi concentration camps during World War II. During that time, his brother was murdered, his parents were murdered, and his pregnant wife was murdered. During those years in concentration camps, Frankl suffered excruciating pain, but he survived and learned a valuable lesson that he wrote about in his profound book, A Man's Search for Meaning. In the book, he observed that we experience meaning in life by the attitude we take toward unavoidable suffering. Frankl wrote, "We must never forget that we may also find meaning in life even when confronted with a hopeless situation." To drive home his point about the importance of finding meaning in suffering, Victor, who was a psychiatrist, told a story of an elderly man who came to him for counseling. The man was severely depressed as he was grieving the loss of his wife, who had died 2 years earlier. Victor was trying to figure out how to help this man, and instead of giving advice, he asked the man a question. What would have happened if you had died first and your wife would have had to survive without you? The widower replied, "Oh, this would have been terrible. She would have suffered so much if I would have died first." Then Victor replied to the man, "You see, your suffering has spared her of suffering. To be sure, you have paid the price that you have to suffer and mourn for her so that she didn't have to." And the widower was changed as he saw that his suffering had meaning. He suffered so his wife did not have to. Jesus' suffering had meaning. Isaiah wrote, verse 5, "And by his wounds we are healed." Christ suffered for us so that in some ways we wouldn't have to suffer. But we do suffer in this life. In his book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis wrote, "We can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." So when we are suffering, maybe the question is, what is God saying to us in our suffering? Where's the meaning? What can we learn? The Apostle Paul talked about a time when he was suffering. He described it as a time when he was suffering from a thorn in his flesh, which he called a messenger of Satan that tormented him. He said that he responded to the suffering by pleading with the Lord three times to take away the pain. But this is what the Lord said to him in his suffering. But Christ said to me, this is 2 Corinthians 12:9. But Christ said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul was a person who suffered much for others, and he wrote something about suffering that agrees with what Frankl had to say about finding meaning in suffering. Listen to this, Romans 5, 3-5, English Standard Version. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Suffering is unavoidable and unignorable, and suffering is going to produce something. It might produce hopelessness or bitterness, or it might produce something positive. And while you may not have a say on whether or not you suffer, you will have a say in what suffering produces in your life. I want to challenge you today to apply this message by taking the advice of Viktor Frankl and the Apostle Paul and try to find meaning in suffering. Allow the suffering to produce endurance, character, and hope that fights against shame. Earlier, I said I wanted to tell you about a painful wound that is now fully healed. Several years ago, I tore my Achilles tendon, which left me with a limp and unable to run or jump. Then a surgeon made the pain worse by impaling me with his knife near my right ankle. The injury became much worse, and for a while, I could not even walk. But slowly, the surgeon's wound began to heal. Today, my leg is fully healed. Not only is there no pain, but I can even run and jump. Today, I have no more pain, but what I have is a 4-inch scar near my right ankle that reminds me that it is by the wound of a surgeon that I am healed, and by his wounds, we are healed. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are the maker of this world and of our bodies and of our souls. We all have wounds from this life, but we come to you for healing. Thank you that you have made us so that even in suffering, we can find meaning and hope. Today, we come to you with our wounds and we are seeking healing. Help us to see that your grace is enough. Teach us to better understand how your power is made perfect in weakness. Lead us to respond to suffering in a way that it produces hope in us. May we be healed by your wounds, and may you use our wounds to heal others. In Jesus' name, amen.